if you drive, you know you've been paying more to fill up your tank with gasoline. Across the country, in cities large and small, more people have decided that it's just too expensive to drive to work, so they're taking public transit. Take Knoxville, Tennessee, where bus ridership in September was up 15% over the same time last year. Belinda Boyd plans routes and schedules for Knoxville Area Transit.
The magic number is $3 a gallon. When gas got to $3 a gallon, we started getting a huge amount of phone calls from our telephone information office. We had trouble keeping schedules in racks. Lots more people started riding. And then the month of September itself is where we sort of looked at the month as a whole and said, oh my gosh, this is a huge increase, which we haven't seen that sort of ridership in over 20 years since the Knoxville hosted the World's Fair, when we had a whole bunch of different people in town, a lot more people we were carrying. So it's a huge increase for us.
Have you been adding more buses?
We have not added more buses. We have increased the size of buses. This is sort of a double-edged sword for us. We love having the additional ridership, but at the same time, we also are dealing with increased fuel prices. And so we are actually over budget as well because of the high cost of fuel.
But if you have more riders, I would think your profits are going up. That would help.
It does help some. The fare doesn't cover the entire operating cost. So even though we do have a huge increase in ridership, it's not enough to cover the increased operating costs that we see with fuel.
What do you figure happens if and when gas prices go down substantially? Do you retain these riders or do they get back in their cars?
I think that's going to be the million-dollar question. This is a really critical time, I think, for transit. We're really trying to be a really good alternative for folks when prices are high, but we also want to say we're a really good alternative anyway. There are so many folks who have really said, gosh, we're really enjoying this. I'm really aware of how much I'm saving in gas and how comfortable it is and how fun it is that I'm not experiencing road rage. So I think we'll capture some. It's just, you know, it's so easy to get in your car and go. But I think people are also finding it's really easy to get on the bus and go as well.
Belinda Boyd, thanks very much.
Thank you very much.
Belinda Boyd is Director of Marketing and Development for Knoxville Area Transit. There are similar stories across the country. In car-crazy Los Angeles, the buses and subways had almost 8% more business in August compared with last August. In Dallas, there was an 11% jump in bus and light rail use in the first 2 weeks of September. And in Tulsa, there were 32% more bus riders this September than last. In the San Francisco Bay Area, BART has added more subway trains during rush hours to meet demand. Here's what a few BART riders have to say about the cost of their commutes.
6-car train for 3 miles in 7 minutes.
Horace Washington. I'm coming from Oakland. The whole idea of driving is too expensive. Too difficult, too expensive.
My name is Yasmin Fukoba. I'm commuting on BART every single day, twice a day. It's much more effective, especially this year.
My name is Asaf Jaffe. Between parking costs, gas, and bridge toll, it's about the same. $3 over the bridge one way, $6 back and forth on BART. But a lot of times it's just more convenient to jump in my car and drive over.
But just because more people are using public transit, it doesn't mean that freeways or highways feel any less crowded at rush hour. Alan Pizarski is the author of the book Commuting in America. He says there are so many people who drive, and comparatively few who take the bus or train, so increases for public transit use are almost imperceptible to people in their cars. But Pizarski says drivers have their own ways to cut gas consumption.
One of the first things that you see is that people within their own household, where they have, in effect, a fleet, the majority of households in America have two or more vehicles, they'll shift to the most efficient vehicle. They'll park the sport utility vehicle and use the more fuel efficient, the smaller car. So that's kind of the first thing they do. The second thing they do, they start consciously trip chaining and assembling a group of trips, chores, errands, and save them up until they can make one round trip. They tend to do that, for instance, more on the way to work, on the way home, because you have to be out either way. And then third, they begin perhaps what I call fam pooling, carpooling within the household, husband, wife, or child at work, sharing a vehicle to save fuel.
How fickle are we? The patterns that we establish during a situation like this where gas prices are high, Do we keep those patterns going when prices come down?
Well, we have a little bit of history to go by, and I think some of it is interesting. The record is that people, when they make these accommodations, are very anxious to shift back as fast as possible. After the 79 oil boycott problems, people snap back, literally snap back, an almost instantaneous shift back to the former modes of behavior. If people see this as temporary, if there is no sense of this is permanent, this is long term, then you'll get that reaction, I think, very effectively, very quickly.
Old habits die hard.
Yeah.
Alan Pizarski, thanks very much.
Thank you very much.
Alan Pizarski is working on a new edition of his book, Commuting in America. And one of those drivers who intends to keep on driving is commentator Daniel McGinn. He says for his money, driving to work is still a bargain.
I spend a lot of time in my car getting to work. It's a 70-mile commute round trip. And with gasoline at nearly $3 a gallon, it's getting kind of expensive. When my wife and I relocated to the Boston suburbs 6 years ago, we told our realtor what we could spend in a house. He told us to get in the car, drive west, and keep going. We now live in a lovely town 30 miles from the city. There's a charming town with great schools closer to Boston. If we lived there, I'd cut my drive in half. Trouble is, to buy a median-priced house there would cost $300,000 more than the house we own. Sure, I'd reduce my commute by 35 miles, saving 2 gallons of gas and an hour of driving, but buying a house like that would add $1,800 to my monthly mortgage payment, as if I could afford that. The way I look at it, if I commute 150 days a year, excluding the days I'm on the road or work from home, my willingness to drive means I'm saving $144 in mortgage payments every time I make my commute. Okay, so it's not that simple. I'm ignoring the tax deductibility of the mortgage interest, tolls, wear and tear in my car, and the mind-numbing psychic costs of sitting in traffic. But most days, I don't regret my commute. The cost of gas is a bargain compared with the cost of close-to-the-city housing. That's why the extra hour I spend commuting may be the most profitable part of my day.
Daniel McGinn is a national correspondent for Newsweek magazine. We also heard from Alan Pizarski, author of Commuting in America, Commuters in the BART System in San Francisco, and Belinda Boyd of Knoxville Area Transit.